All right. Well, let's turn to the Word and what God wants you to hear, wants us to hear this morning, because He does have something for us. And I think the Lord wants to encourage us this morning. I so appreciate the worship, because I thought some of the worship was just right in line with what I'll be speaking about this morning. So if you mind, I'd just like to pray over our time of receiving the Word. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word. God, that Your Word is powerful. Your Word teaches us. It instructs us. It guides us. It's like a light unto our pathway. Lord God, it shapes and forms us. And we pray this morning that we can receive Your Word. That it's not just the word of a man. Lord God, I pray that You would use me for the purpose of bringing forth Your Word. But Lord, I just pray in each of our hearts that we receive what Holy Spirit wants us to receive, to really hear what You're saying this morning. Because Lord God, it's Your Spirit that we need to hear, to really bring to light, and even a word that may be very familiar, to bring a refreshing bread, a refreshing manna that we need to partake of this morning from Your Word. And I pray, God, that it would do something in us and bless us this morning, each one of us, for what You desire in the body of Christ this morning. We thank You, God, for that, and that You are doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. So church, this morning, I want to tell you very simple. I could probably just say it in a few words and we could go, but you know, preachers aren't that way. Preachers aren't that way. But I also don't want to make it too simplistic. I want us to consider these words, and they're just simple words. Be strong and courageous. Church, be strong and courageous. We sang about it this morning. Jim picked out the songs. He picked out the songs because he knew by the Spirit that we needed to sing those songs about being strong in the Lord, about being courageous in God. And I'm just going to start and just simply say, because there's a reason why, right? There's a reason why. And we're going to talk about that this morning. There's a reason why we need to be strong and courageous. I'm just going to simply start with 1 John 4:4. One sentence that John wants to speak. He says, "You are from God, little children." He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the people of God. "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." Them is the world and the spirit that is in the world. "You have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." That right there, to just meditate on those words alone is life-changing if we really grab hold of what it is saying. Greater is He who is in you than he that's in the world. We have to be reminded of that. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves over and over in a day and a time that can look sometimes very difficult. You know, there's numerous times in Scripture where God says very specifically that I am with you. I am with you. We see it throughout Scripture. I am with you. And those are very powerful words. They're very poignant words. And those words mean a lot because of who God is. God speaks to His people this powerful knowledge, and we are to receive it. That's what He wants. He says, I want you to receive this truth, this knowledge. Because when we understand it and embrace it, the people of God really become not something weak, but quite actually the opposite. We become people that are quite powerful, because we understand and embrace this understanding of greater is He who is in us than he that's in the world. It can set you free in many ways. You know, John speaking to the ecclesia about properly discerning what is of God and what is of the world, because he's talking about the Antichrist spirit that's in the world. Well, do we see an Antichrist spirit in the world today? I think it's becoming more and more evident, almost in your face, the kind of day and time that we're living in. There is a spirit in the world that is Antichrist. John reminds all the believers they were facing it in their day and time too. It hasn't left this world. But the Spirit of God is greater in you. And that's what he wants to say. Underlying this, everything that we can look at in this world, For the follower of Christ, the fact is God is with you. God is with you. He says God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And he will not forsake you. He will not forget about you. If we read in Isaiah, it talks about it. It says, I cannot forget about you. It's not possible. You're my people. Don't you know that? Even if a mother could forget the babe that she nurses, even if a mother could forget, I will not forget you. That's what it says in Isaiah. It says, it's not possible. In all things that pertain to possibilities, that's not one of them. God cannot forget his people. He does not forget them. He does not forsake them. So, foundationally, as a believer in Christ, we understand that God is with you. He's with us. And by God's Spirit, we overcome. We overcome. We are overcomers because of he who is in us. This is something very important. Now, God speaks about his presence over and over. He speaks about it to his people, and we see this throughout Scripture, and we can look at Scripture and God, where God's very poignant to say, I am with you. He likes to also say that too, because when there's times and places where the people of God are going through hard times, difficult times, you know, when they're going through the fire, when they're going through the flood, he says, I'm with you. He says that in Scripture, I'm with you. And he speaks also to his people when he's sending them into difficult times. Yes, God does. God, you know, does God ever send his people into difficult times and difficult situations? Yes, he does. We don't serve a God who plays it safe. We serve a God who's an amazing God, a powerful God, but he doesn't play it safe because he has a purpose to accomplish on this earth. You know, God spoke to Moses, right? And he says, I'm sending you out of the wilderness where you've become comfortable. You've become acclimated to the wilderness and the flocks you watch over and to the family you're growing and to a certain comfort level. You can handle this, right? You've learned how to live out here in the wilderness. But I'm calling you to a great task, to a great work, to something of epic proportions. I'm calling you. And I'm calling you into danger. I'm calling you to come before the greatest power of the day and to tell the greatest power of the day to let my people go. Yeah, the ones they call slaves, the ones who build their buildings and their pyramids and the ones who put all the labor to make their nation great and powerful as it is. Yeah, I'm sending you to tell Pharaoh to let all my people go. Easy, right? Well, Moses, of course, wanted nothing to do with that. He says, well, you know, you've got the wrong person, choose somebody else. But what does God say? He says, I am with you. I am with you. Now, at first, that didn't comfort Moses too much, but God would not allow Moses to just come back into this place of fearfulness and to stay there, because he was afraid. And, of course, God shows himself to Moses, because Moses needed to understand who was speaking to him. And he showed him miracles, and he saw miracles, and says, I am the God who does these miracles, and I will do these miracles before Pharaoh, and I will use you. And so he shows forth Moses those words. It says, I am with you. And with me, you are more than enough. That's what he's saying. With me, you are more than enough. And you will see the great power of the day conquered. God called Moses a successor, also Joshua, and used some of these very same words. Now, Joshua had seen the miracles. He had seen the deliverance of the people of God out of Egypt's hand. He had seen many things. And so he already had a pretty good foundation of how powerful and how awesome this God they served truly, truly was. And Joshua was a very brave person, as we see. He's the one who wants to go into the promised land when others don't. He's the one, if God said it, let's do it. While others were afraid and they pulled back and they wanted to live in the desert, or they wanted to go back to Egypt to be slaves. They thought that was better. But what does God say to Joshua as he calls Joshua to be the next leader to follow Moses and to lead the people into the promised land? Well, we see that in Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." It's like neon lights flashing in front of Joshua. The message is so clear. Joshua is called to be strong and courageous three times. And we see in the Bible when things are repeated, it's to put great emphasis, on the words that are being spoken. And so God does repeat this and puts great emphasis on this and gives not only direction, but actually gives a command. He says, "I am commanding you. I'm not just telling you. I'm not giving you a good suggestion. I'm not giving you good advice. I'm commanding you to be strong and courageous." Now, Bill Johnson gives a little word about this, because it's like, how is it that God is commanding this, to be strong and courageous? One thing Bill Johnson says is he's not commanding a feeling, right? Because you can't command feelings, right? Be happy, be sad. Now, you could work stuff up, but he's not saying work emotions up in you. No, he's not saying work them up in you. He's not saying trying to command feelings. But instead, this is really more about a manner of preparation. It's a manner of Joshua's mindset. It's literally what the very convictions that Joshua is to have on the inside. The rock on which he's literally to stand. He's literally to stand on a rock of the conviction of who God is and what God is going to do. So God's not saying it's a good idea to have courage. That's not what he's saying. God is saying you must have courage. Yes, for all the challenges ahead, you need courage, absolutely. But this must be your disposition. This must be your commitment. This must be your conviction. It has to be something that is so rock solid in you. Get a hold of it and don't let it go. This courage, this strength must live on the inside of you. When the going gets tough, you don't look back. You don't begin to get weak in the knees. You double down on your conviction. You double down on what God has spoken to you. You double down on what God has done and gone before you and all the things you have seen. He says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Everything that Moses has given to you. Think about those things. Meditate on those things. Let that be so in you that you don't get shaken by what you see, the challenges ahead, the hard things that are coming, because there are hard things coming. There are difficult things coming. You'll go into this land and you'll face armies mightier than your armies, the army that you have, that you can see. You're going to go into the promised land and you're going to see giants, giants that are impressive, giants that are intimidating, giants that are scary. You're going to see those things with your eyes. But that should not dissuade you. That should not cause you to be discouraged. That should not cause you to fear. because you must have this conviction in you of what I've said to you, of what I've told you, and the fact that I am telling you that I'm with you. See, God's saying I'm with you, and that means everything. It absolutely means everything. There would be trouble in the land. There would be a lot of fights to fight, battles to engage in. But Joshua needed to not see with his natural eyes. He needed to see from a perspective of the God who speaks these words to him, is the God who is with him, the God who will fight these battles. And so the whole idea here is you must have this in you. Stay close to God. Do not go to the right or to the left. Meditate on His word. Do the things that you've been commanded, and you will be successful. You will be successful. I think this is also just simply put a poignant word for us today. To keep our eyes on God, to keep our eyes on His word. To allow it to direct us, to light our pathway, to stay exactly where God wants us to stay, and to not derivate. God, you know, Joshua was called to trust in this powerful supernatural God, and that God was bigger than the giants that he would face and the difficulties that he would see. So God speaks. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Joshua. But it doesn't stop there. Because the strength that Joshua was to have was the same strength that Moses was to have, was the same strength that the people of Israel were to have, because these people needed to know when they faced their enemy that God was with them. It's the same strength also that the disciples that followed Jesus were to have. It's that same strength. And it's the same strength that we are to have today. We simply understand that this strength is not our own. It didn't just come from us because we're so strong, but it belongs to God. It's God's strength. We're to have God's strength precisely because we do face things, powers, difficulties greater than us, stronger than us. Moses was not greater than Pharaoh, but with God, the people of God could overcome. Moses could overcome. They could overcome the great armies of Egypt. And the people of God could take the promised land, not on their own strength, but with the God who is with them. You know, if you read the Great Commission in Matthew, I think also it falls along these lines. So this is not just some epic battle that was happening in the Old Testament, but it's also for today when Jesus speaks to his disciples. He says this in Matthew 28. He says to his disciples, he says, therefore, and go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How does he end that? He gives them a great commission. He gives them something that's daunting. He gives them something that's way bigger than they are. This commission is saying, go to all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, making disciples. As I have made disciples of you, you are to make disciples everywhere you go to all nations. This is a task way greater than just the disciples themselves. But what does he say? He says, I am with you. God has a way of doing that, calling us to a mammoth task, something that's way larger than us, way bigger than us. But it's very common for God just to end all that to say, I'm with you. So as he spoke to Moses, to Joshua, the people of Israel, he speaks to us, he spoke to the disciples, and to us today saying, I'm with you. It's not time to sit back. It's not time to be overwhelmed. It's time to go forward. Now, it's interesting because, the disciples, they were not these highly educated, sophisticated people. And sometimes we think that those type of people know better and they can do more than we can. but I'm here today. If God's got a calling on us, we can do what he says we can do. And in fact, it seems like the things of the gospel and the things of great task are oftentimes given to people that the world wouldn't think very highly of, or the world wouldn't think very much of. I mean, we could look today in our culture and say, you know what? Harvard and Yale have a divinity school. They train people for ministry. But I'm telling you, Harvard and Yale are not impacting the world very much these days. They're doing more deconstructing the gospel than actually sending the gospel out into the whole world. So the ivory tower is not doing a whole lot for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, it's the common person, like you, like me, nothing amazing, nothing great, but God gives task to people, ordinary people, common people. But when you hear those words, when God says, I am with you, and you can do what I am telling you to do, even great and mighty things. Because those are the people that are impacting the world and doing things for God that are awesome, mighty, and great. Well, we can do great things for God because of that very thing. God is with us. You know, he needs us, and we need him. It's kind of this interesting relationship that God has brought together with his people. I say he needs us because we are his hands and feet. He needed Moses to go before Pharaoh, but he was going to do the miracles. It was going to be the power of God that was going to move things. But he needed a faithful man in Moses. He needed a faithful man in Joshua. He needs faithful men and women and children today to do, to go, to step into situations that are not comfortable, to be in situations that can be overwhelming and even difficult. But when he's with us, we can do things that are hard and difficult. It is God who guides us. It's God who directs us. It's God who empowers us. This is one reason why Jesus says, go to the upper room because you need a Pentecost. Go to the upper room because you need the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do this by yourself. It's not possible. I don't want to put you in that situation. I'm giving you the helper. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to empower you to do great and mighty works. So don't try to do it on your own. If you do it in your own flesh, there's so many evidences in the Bible that that doesn't work. And that's going to fail. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God in you, with you at all times. But then don't underestimate yourself as you walk with God and to do according to his will. So when we look today and we look at the overwhelming forces of today, you know, what are we to do? What are we to do? Are we to go find our bunker or our basement and hide away? No, God's not calling us to hide in this day and time. As forces increase, as pressures increase, as there's more of the Antichrist spirit in the world, and when the Antichrist spirit tells Christians to shut up, to go home, and don't bring the faith into the marketplace, don't bring your faith into the world because you just need to keep it in a closet somewhere. We need to say, no. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the Antichrist spirit. And we're not following that voice. We're saying, God, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to say? What kind of impact do you want us to have in this day, in this time, in this hour? He says to us today, as he said to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So we do not bow to a spirit of fear. We do not become discouraged about what's happening in the world today. Things that we don't seem to control, same things that seem to be out of our hands, pressures that are coming against the people of God here in America and around the world. We could sometimes fall into a way of thinking that this world is a scary place and we need to hide. But the opposite is true. as things get worse, and they probably will. As things get harder, and they probably will. That Christians stand up with the presence of God in them, and we have a voice, and we speak. We're not speaking judgmentally. Actually, we're speaking forth the very truth of God, and we're helping people to see that the light of Christ is here in the world today. He's not gone away and will shine even brighter as the darkness grows. Jesus told believers to shine their light. And when Jesus told the believers to shine their light, it was not in the context of safety. You know, the early church, they had a lot of persecution, right? They were persecuted. There were religious zealot Jews that wanted to put them in jail and drag them off. And they did, and they martyred Christians. And there was the Roman power that was dominating the world at that time, and they martyred Christians. Christians were persecuted in that day and the time. And it was not easy to be a Christian. It was actually a fairly dark place. I think when we read scriptures, they're talking about the days they were in, the Antichrist spirit, and the darkness they were seeing in their day and time. But they were to not cower. They were to shine their light. In Matthew 5, 14, we know this scripture really well. It says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." He's also saying, should not be hidden. "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So we don't hide. When you have a good thing, when you have the goodness of God, when you can shine the goodness of God and the glory of God, we don't hide it. We don't cower, even when people disagree with us, even when people think that we should just go home and hide our faith. We don't hide from fear of people, even when they hate us. But really, they hate Christ. They really hate God. So it's not really a beef with you. It's time to shine the light of Christ for all to see. You know, it's talked about, and maybe you hear even prophetic voices speaking to this, but there's a time of shaking that's going to go on in our society. We're seeing some of that. We're seeing things that were upheavals, that things that maybe people have come to rely on in this world are going to be shaken. There's going to be things that people thought were sure, without a shadow of a doubt, unshakable, will be shaken. Things that are false will be shaken. Things that set themselves up against God will be shaken. We're going to see mighty things take place, and we don't know all that's going to be. Could be natural disasters. Will be probably financial disasters. Certainly it will be those who need to be removed from power will be removed from power. And we pray that godly people, God-fearing people, will take their place. But even in the midst of everything that we see and things that are being shaken and things that seem to, in society, like things that, for instance, when we saw the COVID event happen, it was a shaking. A lot of people got very fearful in those times. But the people of God were not to be fearful and say, wait a minute, this is something that we have not seen, but God is here. God is still with us. I believe we'll see some more things that we don't yet know, but will be quite discouraging, or can even lead us to maybe want to be fearful. But we have to put that off and say, Lord God, this is a time where the church is to stand up greater than ever. I do believe we will see exalted things in this world fall. But we'll also see people confused. We'll see people not knowing what to do. And it's important for the body of Christ to say, no, God has not left the world. God is here, is more powerfully than ever, and he wants people to not turn to destructive ways, but to turn to God. And the church needs to be ready to be radiant in these times and these places, because we are a people of hope, to show, and we are to show people Christ. And it's important because the freedom that we sing about is the freedom that we need to share. So I think it's very important that we know how, in these days and times, to find our strength in the Lord. It's so important. You know, 1 Peter 4:11, just a portion of it, it says, if anyone serves, or called to serve, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So the things that we do, and how we serve, and how we give, and how we love, and how we engage even to society, these things should be done with the strength that God provides. So we need God's strength, each and every one of us. We need God's strength. Not only so that we ourselves will not be fearful in times that where things are shaken, but we can actually encourage others. We can actually help others. We can actually share the strength that God has put in us and say, no, we know. We know how this all ends. We know where this is going. God will be glorified. He will be glorified. And people will see and be invited to come in. So we don't know all what's going to take place in our nature, in our nation, in our culture, but we do know one thing: God reigns. And that the terrible things that we see and the things that are kind of raising their heads and really this antichrist spirit in the world today, it won't overcome God, because God will not be overcome. And the people of God will not be overcome. We are to be steadfast in the Lord. We are not to be shaken. We are to be steadfast and to find our strength and courage in Him. So spend time with the Lord. Meditate on His word. Know what He has said. And not just the events of the news and things that we might see and take place. But I think it's important that we stay in the Lord. He's our strength. He's our portion. He is what we need. Read Psalm 91. Read these words of God that says, yes, there are epidemics in the land. Yes, there are those who will fall, but in God, under the shadow of His wings, we will succeed. We will go forward and be successful. And we will shine the light of Christ to a culture that's decaying. So God has a plan. God wants to do amazing things, but He needs the hands and the feet, the ecclesia, to not cower in this day and time, but to actually stand up, to radiate the love of God, to radiate the goodness of God, and says, no, we are a people who have hope. We are people who have the answer. We are people who have the Redeemer, the Savior. And to invite people in, to share the love of God with them, and to give them the hope that we have. So as a very simple message I have this morning, don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. God is greater, and God is with you. In some ways, that's what you need to know. But stay in the Word. Stay in what God says, His truth, His Word, and let His strength fill you. Get in His presence. Let Him fill you. And know that you have a certainty in Him, a strength in Him. It's also maybe a time to notice when other people are getting weak in the knees, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to share with them the hope that you have and why you can stand strong, because you stand strong in the Lord. It's not really your strength, it's His. But we receive, we come, we say, Lord, strengthen us today, that we know, that we know, that we know. It's a conviction in us. It's so a part of us that greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world.